right, welcome in on a Thursday this week, a special Thursday episode. Trash Talk with Tony Browski is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, Eli Bashy. Mike Bilica has made his triumphant return to Trash Talk. And Graham Richards and Tyler Sawa are also here. Gentlemen, what's going on? I hope all is well. Thanks for being here. Let's have a great show today. But before we begin, I do want to thank the sponsor of this week's episode. This week's episode, Trash Talk, is sponsored, as always, by Michigan-based Roast Number Coffee. Listen, I'm a coffee lover, and I can't get enough of Roast Number. I start each morning with a cup of Roast Number. Let me tell you, there is no other way I want to start my day. Whether you prefer your coffee hot or cold, they got you covered. They got their Nitro Cold Brew and their Whole Bean Ground Coffee, both of which are really, really good. Visit the website, roastdumber.com. If you make an order, be sure to use my coupon code TONYD to save yourself 20% off. Capital T, capital D, no spaces. You get some delicious coffee at a discounted price. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Thank you, as always, to Michigan-based Roast Dumber Coffee for sponsoring this episode. I do appreciate it. All right, gentlemen, let's get into it. Let's begin, as always, with the introductions. Eli, we're going to start with you. How's it going, Eli? How have you been? How's your summer going so far?
It's going good. I feel good. I'm been watching some baseball, been watching
hockey. What kind of baseball? Tigers or just like in general?
I've been watching some random games when they're on.
Sunday Night Baseball, classic NL East matchup.
Oh man. Phillies and Nationals.
Phillies and Mets.
Gotta love it, man. Gotta love it. Yeah, the Tigers are disappointing, but we ain't got
to. Oh, we don't need to talk about them. It's all right.
But I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
That's good to hear. Let's move on to Mike Bilica. Welcome back, Mike. It's been a while. When was the last time you were here?
Yeah. It's been 2 months since I've been on.
Mike, how you doing, though? It's been a while. You got a new job. How's that going?
It's going good. I mean, it's just taking a little bit to get used to it.
Gotta get up early in the morning.
Tomorrow looks like we can get up at like 5:30. So it's gonna be
my goodness tomorrow. Gracious, Eli, what time do you get up for work?
I'm gonna be getting up at 5, so I'll text him good morning.
Those 5 a.m. wake up calls, man. They're just
Man. But that's not stopping you from watching it, just like Eli, baseball and playoff hockey. How's that all going?
Oh, man, it's been fun. Playoff hockey, playoff basketball, especially playoff hockey, though, because of you guys. I mean, Tony, you can't stress it enough how these hockey playoffs have been. It's just been electric.
Eli and Mike, is this the first time you've actually, like, sat down and watched playoff hockey games from start to finish?
Yeah, definitely.
I did last year with Montreal.
Oh, my God.
But I mean, I watched the full game, so.
Great.
I mean, they weren't bad last season, but.
Yeah, but now they got the first overall pick. Hey, they're getting Shane Wright. Good for them. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, the playoffs in the NHL this year have been awesome so far. The first round was really entertaining. Second round is just getting started. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And just you wait until the Red Wings are back in the playoffs. Oh,
yeah, it's not.
Oh, you think these are fun to watch? You think these are fun? Oh, you just wait.
These games have no control. They're just all over the place, dude. Like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it for the Red Wings.
Well, get ready. It's going to be coming soon. Maybe not next year. Maybe not even the following year, but it's going to be soon. And boy, oh boy, those Wings are going to be good. Those games are gonna be stressful. Tyler, you think it might be stressful when you got money on these games? Wait until you actually want your team to just straight up win, like the Wings. Oh,
dude, I tweeted out it was Tuesday night. I was watching the Avalanche and Blues game, and dude, like, I just missed that thrill of being a Detroit sports fan and like waiting for those type of games. So I can't wait. I don't really care who it is. If it's the Wings, Pistons, Lions, Tigers, I really don't care who ends up being. I just want that thrill again of cheering for a Detroit sports team and, like, you know, being on the edge of my seats, like, what way is it going to go? And I feel like we just haven't had that in forever.
Yeah, hopefully soon. I thought there was a chance it could be this year, but I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get sad. No.
Hey, It's not over yet.
But man, we lost Erod now. Just the injuries just keep piling up, man. It's ridiculous, but we're not talking Tigers today, though. We'll save that for another episode later in the summer. We'll get there eventually. Anyway, Mike, good to have you back this week. Let's move on to our final two introductions. We'll combine these two. Speaking of sports betting, Grant and Tyler. You know, Parlay J's not here tonight. He's not joining us. But we still got Parlay Tyler and DraftKings Grant, I guess.
You've been
kind of rolling over these past first, like, few weeks that you've been sports betting.
Not with the parlays, though. Single bets only. Single bets
straight,
only.
Straight bet Tyler. How about that? We got Parlay J, straight bet Tyler.
that's better.
There we go. But granted, Tyler, how are you both doing today? And as always, Mike, it's your first one in a while.
How was the sports betting this weekend?
Oh!
Grant, you have seniority over me, so you get honors to go first.
All right. Sports betting was... It was a roller coaster this week. We got up quick, got a little cocky. I believe it was last Wednesday with the Warriors. After my initial parlay crashed, I doubled down on the Warriors with a two-unit bet, which does not usually happen. I was confident, and that was the game they got shellacked by 40. So that was fun. Kind of set me off for the rest of the weekend, just in a bad stretch. But other than sports betting, I just wanted to share that I played Arcadia Bluffs this weekend. For those of you that don't know, it is
you played what?
On the Arcadia Bluffs. It is probably the nicest golf course in Michigan.
Oh.
Just like you are on Lake Michigan. I don't know. I can't describe it. Breathtaking. I encourage everyone to at least look it up. It's a drive, but it's phenomenal course, phenomenal day. Made me forget that my sports betting missed winning week by about $2. So we were right there. We were battling. Yeah, you know what? And with that, we'll send it over to the younger Tyler Sawa.
How was straight bet Tyler?
Straight bet Tyler.
Hey, you know what? It's been kind of like great. It's been like some good days, some bad days. Like Tuesday night was great. I hit 3 for 3. Miami got me money, and then Tampa Bay got me money, and then Colorado got me money. So that was just the perfect day. But then as the day we're recording on Wednesday, I bet the under in the Tigers game. Then Isak hits a pointless home run in the freaking – bottom of the eighth inning and beats the under, so that messed me up. Yeah, but it's been hit or miss so far. I see the stress that you guys were talking about before, because I wasn't doing this. I understand the stress now while watching these games. But I will say, it does make a lot of these games a lot more interesting and it makes me a lot more intrigued to tune in these games.
Makes
not
you
that
pay
it
attention.
Wasn't before, but yeah, I really really want to pay attention like more strictly to these games. So. You know, we've been enjoying the ride so far.
Me, last week was a winning week for me. You know, I did a little, I picked up the phone. Boop, 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 boop. I called the number. I wish Parlay J was here. I called the number, 1-800-PARLAY. Lightning money line. Lightning money line delivered in game 6 and 7, baby. Oh, it was a winning week for me last week, mostly because of Lightning money line. Didn't go Lightning money line in game 1 against the Florida Panthers, and that wasn't a great start to this week, but we'll bounce back, hopefully.
Don't talk about Friday night.
What happened Friday night?
The Tigers game.
Oh, I forgot about. Well, now that you brought it up, we might as well share. So yeah, me and Tyler went to the Orioles Tigers game on Friday night, Pink Out the Park, and I was feeling good about the Tigers that night. I didn't take Tigers money line before the game. I wanted to see how the first few innings would go, and then I was going to make a live bet. I was feeling good. I took Tigers -2.5, which means they had to win by 3 or more runs. As soon as I placed that bet, the Tigers went up 4-0. It was late in the game. I was feeling so good. And then, you know, Jacob Barnes comes in, who's been good for the Tigers this year. He's been good for the Tigers this year. Jacob Barnes comes in, top of the eighth inning. The first two pitches that he throws in the game, boom, boom, back-to-back solo homers, -2.5 is gone. And it didn't hit. That was brutal. But, whatever. It's fine. It was still a winning week for me. But, yes, Tyler, thank you for reminding me about that miss.
You should have saw Tony's face when I think Mancini hit that home run.
I was disappointed – because of the bet, and I was also upset because I thought I was about to witness the Tigers collapse in person. But we did. Thankfully, the Tigers won that game, and they eventually got the sweep. So, yeah, but thanks for reminding me about that cool miss on Friday night. And also that night, I wanted to take the Celtics in game six, but Parlay Jay and Tyler said, no, go Bucks. So I'm like, all right, screw it. I'll take the Bucks, and the Celtics won, and they eventually won the series. So thank you, Tyler.
We all lost together that night, though. We all went Bucks that night.
Sure.
So. I took Tiger's money line that day, so I was good.
He was feeling good.
Every time Robbie draws a walk, we put money.
Okay, no joke. Robbie took a leadoff walk in that game, I believe, in the bottom of the first inning. Tyler, in addition to his bet before the game, put more money on Tiger's money line after that. I'm like, oh, Tyler, come on now. stop calling the number at some point. Nonetheless, gentlemen, let's get into the show this week. The main topic today, everyone knows what we're talking about this week. The Pistons getting the 5th overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. Well, I mean, after getting some luck last year, landing the number 1 overall pick and getting Cade Cunningham, we're back to our normal thing here in Detroit with the lottery, and that is falling in it. Specifically with the Pistons, the Wings over the past few years, they have not went up or down. They have just stayed with their spot before the lottery. The Pistons, though, we're back to falling in the lottery. We fell from 3 to 5 in this year's draft lottery. And listen, it is what it is for me. I mean, yes, it stinks to fall to 5, don't get me wrong. But we still got Cade, okay? We still got our franchise player, our star, our guy, who's got a beard now, by the way. Bearded Cade, watch out for him next year if he keeps that beard. Anyway, we still got Cade. We got our guy. We got our star. We got him, okay? But also, we still got Troy Weaver, man, who I absolutely trust to find a good player at number 5. James Edwards brought up a really good point in one of his latest articles with The Athletic. Everyone can find a Cade and take him first overall. That's the easy part. But not everybody can find Sadiq and or Beef Stew later in the first round, like Troy Weaver did. Not everyone can find an Isaiah Livers in the second round, but Troy Weaver did. You know, like Troy clearly has an eye for talent. He was brought here to Detroit for these moments. We fell in the lottery. It is what it is. Oh, well, Troy's job is to find talent wherever he's picking, whether it's 1, 5, 7, wherever. And I 100% trust Troy Weaver in this spot. Whether it's Jaden Ivey, Shane Sharp, Keegan Murray, Benedict Mathurin, whoever, I trust Troy. And even though we still fell in the lottery, I still feel really good about this Pistons rebuild, or the quote-unquote restore, or whatever you want to call it. I still feel really good. Falling to 5 wasn't fun, but it's not the end of the world for me. I still feel good about the direction of this team with Troy Weaver and also Cade Cunningham. By the way, speaking of prospects in this year's draft, it's still early, and we'll talk more about this on the pod. I'll talk about it on Twitter and YouTube and all that stuff as we get closer to the draft. But for me, my early prospect for the Pistons at number 5 is Jaden Ivey from Purdue. I really like the idea of a potential Cade-Jaden Ivey backcourt. Jaden's athleticism is incredible. Ja Morant-esque, if I can say. I'm not saying he is Ja Morant, but his athleticism, when you watch video of Jaden Ivey, you can see a little Ja Morant in him. Crazy good finisher at the rim, and I think he could be a lot of fun to watch with Cade. He will need to shoot the 3 better, but let me say this. His 3-point percentage at Purdue did increase from 26% in 2020-2021 to 36% in 2021-2022 at Purdue. The numbers will show you that he was shooting better during his time with Purdue. But again, he will definitely need to shoot a little bit better at the NBA level, and he'll need to improve defensively as well. But man, I still really do like Jaden Ivey. He's exciting. He's a top prospect in this draft for a reason. I'd like to get him at number 5 if he is there. I mean, who knows what Sacramento does? Should they take another guard? Probably not, but it's Sacramento. Who knows what they do at number 4? I'm also not totally against Shaedon Sharpe from Kentucky, but he's such a mystery because he didn't play at Kentucky last year. You know, that's a potential pick where you just really need to trust Troy. Keegan Murray is also a name the Pistons apparently like. I wouldn't be mad at Keegan Murray from Iowa, but I don't know. I don't know with Keegan Murray right now. Like, he'll contribute right away. That's probably the biggest upside to him. He will contribute right away. If you trade Jeremy, Keegan Murray is immediately going to take Jeremy's spot. Keegan Murray's not bad, but like, I don't know right now. I need to do a little bit more draft homework before I really give a definitive opinion on Keegan Murray. He's not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's terrible, but like, I don't know. I think I like the two shooting guards better. Nonetheless, I'm done talking. Eli, we'll start with you. A few questions for you. What was your reaction when you saw the Pistons got the 5th pick during the draft lottery? Do you feel any worse about this rebuild or quote-unquote restore after seeing the Pistons fall in the lottery and getting 5th overall? And are there any prospects early on that are kind of sticking out to you like Jaden Ivey is for me?
I just kind of rolled my eyes as I was watching the lottery when right when I saw. I like just closed my eyes and then I opened them. I rolled my eyes. I said, oh my God. And then I just kind of accepted it because I knew we weren't going to get number one again. There was just no way. I was just hoping for top three to get a chance at like Paolo or Jabari, but I guess it's fine. I think the player that'll be there at 5 will probably be a guard to pair next to Cade. I like Sharp. I like Ivy. At pick 5, it's just whoever, you just got to take whoever falls to you, whoever the best player is available that falls to you. I don't think it slows down the rebuild at all because we still have so much cap space and we're still probably, in my opinion, I think we're going to have another tanking year, but that's whether people want that or not. I think they're going to lose again next year. So, you know, we'll have other chances in the draft later down the line. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. But yeah, it's easy to be disappointed, you know, but there's nothing you could do. We're a Detroit team. We don't have lottery luck, if it's luck that controls it, you know. But that's a conversation for a different day. But I think we'll get a good player regardless. I don't have quite as much trust in Troy as you and many others probably do, just because, I don't know. I try not to – at this point, I try not to – worship GMs because I've seen so many come and go, and I've like it's hard to like take off your Pistons hat and, you know, just worship everything they do. But I trust Troy to pick the best guard out of Sharp or Ivy, whoever is there. I think we'll get one of our top guys, one of our top 5 prospects that's on the Pistons big board. I don't know who they are, but we'll get one of those, so it's all good.
Yeah, we're still going to get a good player. Like, I mentioned that in my live reaction after the lottery. Like, it could have been worse. I didn't mention this in my live reaction, but I just thought about it now. It could have been worse. If we fell to either 6 or 7, because 7 was the lowest we could have fell, then I understand the people that are like, all right, this might really hurt the rebuild or quote-unquote restore, whatever you want to call it. At that point, I'm not sitting here right now being as optimistic as I am. You know, I want a top 4 pick. I made that very clear on Twitter before the draft lottery, but it could have been worse. If we fell to 6 or 7, the mood would be different, but we're still top 5. Like, I still really do feel like we are going to get a solid player. Who will that player be? That'll be fun to talk about over the next month or so. But, yeah. Can I ask you really quickly, do you have any opinion on Keegan Murray? I know he's kind of a popular topic on Pistons Twitter right now because I think it was also James Edwards who mentioned that the Pistons have interest in Keegan Murray. And as I said, like, I do see the pluses, if you will, with Keegan Murray. Like, again, if you trade Jeremy, which seems like it's a real option that they could this offseason before the draft, like, Keegan's going to step in there right away and take Jeremy's spot. And he's probably going to contribute right away. But is he really the best option that might be there at five? Like, I see the pluses and the questions that's currently being discussed on Pistons Twitter right now with Keegan Murray. Do you have any quick thoughts on him?
I don't think he's the highest upside player you could pick at that spot.
I agree. I think that's another thing I'm kind of concerned about.
I'd rather have Jaden Ivey or Shadon Sharpe. But yeah, Keegan Murray, I don't know, he just screams like high floor, low ceiling. I don't know. Like, he just screams role player to me, and I feel like,
yeah,
we don't need to be taking role players with top five picks.
Yeah, we tanked last year to get another star. With
Cade. We tanked hard, man. We stunk.
Man, and that's why lotteries stink. That's why lotteries stink. Like, we still finished with the best odds to get the first overall pick. We were tied with, who was it, Houston and Orlando, I believe.
And OKC. It was a four-way tie.
Yeah,
that fell out.
Yeah, we were still tied to get the best odds. We still had over a 50% chance at top four, and we still fell. Like, whatever. But yeah, Keegan Murray is he's an interesting topic.
Maybe it's a smokescreen. Maybe Keegan Murray, the Pistons' interest in him. Maybe it's a smokescreen. Maybe we're trying to get the Kings to pick him or something. Who knows? The Kings are dumb.
I don't know what the Kings are gonna do with that fourth overall pick. Which, by the way, speaking of lotteries being dumb, the Kings don't deserve a top four pick, man. Like,
they stink.
Yeah.
they traded Haliburton, man. You can't trade Haliburton.
They trade Haliburton to possibly move up in the lottery and take another guard.
they're so annoying.
They might take the guy I want, man. I'm terrified they might take Jaden Ivey. I'm seeing him mock to the Kings.
I'm seeing Sharp mock to them or Ivey. I just think if we get either of those guys, we're good.
In an ideal world, we get either Ivy or Sharp, and then we sign DeAndre Ayton. That's a discussion for another day. That's an ideal world. I don't know if Phoenix is going to let DeAndre Ayton go, but that's a topic for another day. We'll save that for another episode as we get closer to free agency. Anyway.
Sign and trade Jeremy Grant. Would you rather get Jeremy Grant or just let Ayton go for nothing? I'd rather get Jeremy Grant.
I don't know. speaking of Jeremy Grant, though, do you think it's realistic that he could get traded before the draft?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think they trade Jeremy?
I think he will be a Piston next year.
Well, in that case, they better not take Keegan Murray. He's going to be playing off the bench in that case.
Yeah, no, Jeremy. I can't see Jeremy getting traded. I just can't. I don't know why. I don't see it. Is he an expiring contract? He is.
He is. Yeah, he is.
I think they might extend him.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Twitter would. I might have to stay off Twitter that night.
I think they might extend him.
There's been reports that he's like wanted what, 4 years, 100 mil.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not terrible, but
it's not great.
I don't know if I'd pay Jeremy that money, though.
He cannot be your second best player.
You really don't think a team like Portland, who's desperate to win with Dame, like, you don't think Portland could make a move for Jeremy because they're trying
Portland
to win
wants
now?
To give up their, where are they picking? 10th?
7th.
8th? 7th?
7th.
If they want to give us that for Jeremy, then go ahead. I'll take it.
I mean, Jeremy would help you. Jeremy would help more than the seventh pick, probably.
Is Jeremy worth the seventh pick? I don't think he is.
I don't think he's worth the seventh pick, but Portland is in one of those situations where I could see them doing it. Like, what is the seventh overall pick
going to
do?
Yeah, is your seventh pick going to turn out better than Jeremy Grant?
If you're trying to win right now with Dame, like, get Jeremy. Like, that's not even me just trying to be like, give me the seventh pick. Like, I'm actually saying, like, Jeremy would help Portland win games, probably.
It's true.
I don't know. We'll see. But final thing I want to ask you, Eli, then we'll move on to the other guys. What's your thoughts on Jaden Ivey? Or what's your extended thoughts? Because I think you talked about him a little bit. Do you like him as much as I do?
I do. I think, I mean, if we pick Jaden Ivey, I'll be happy. We pick Sharp, I'll be happy. Obviously, if one turns out better than the other, and we don't have the better one, I'm going to be upset. But what are you going to do, you know?
It's tough to argue because Shaedon Sharpe is such a mystery, like I said. He didn't play last year. He's literally someone, as I said, that you just got to trust Troy. He didn't play last year. Like, I don't know what exactly he's going to bring to the table.
All we've seen is videos of him dunking, you know. We haven't really...
I've seen video of him playing high schoolers.
Yeah, that's...
At least Jaden Ivey played at Purdue and played in big games. Like, I don't – Jaden Sharpe, I don't know. And that's not me hating on Shaedon Sharpe, by the way. Like, I would be happy if he is a Pistons pick because we do need it too. And if you take Shaedon Sharpe, you assume that his upside is going to be really, really good. And I'm all for that. But, like, he's such a mystery. I don't know. If it was me, I would take Jaden Ivey. But if Troy sees more upside in Shaedon Sharpe, by all means, do it. I'll trust Troy in that case. But, yeah, I do like Jaden Ivey a lot, too, though.
We're going to be fine. If we fell to seven, though, I'd be like, oh, man, I don't
know. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't even be here right now.
I don't think we'd be recording if we fell to seven. If we fell to seven, I probably would have just said, we'll record next week.
I'd be like, Tony, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want to talk about it.
No, I would not be doing this. I would have said in our group chat, we ain't recording this week. I can't do it. But yeah, like I said, if we would have fell to six or seven, I understand the people that are like, oh, this is going to hurt the rebuild. We're in trouble, blah, 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 blah. But like, we're still going to get a good player. And specifically with Jaden Ivey or Shaedon Sharpe, if one of them becomes a Piston at number five overall on draft night, I still think that's worth tanking last year. Like, Keegan Murray's kind of debatable, but I think Jaden Ivey and Shaedon Sharpe would be worth it. Going through all those losing basketball games, if you can land a Jaden Ivey or Shaedon Sharpe, I would say that's worth it. Keegan Murray, it's debatable. We'll have a conversation again as we get closer to draft night. As I do more draft homework, we'll see. I'll have a better opinion on Keegan Murray, but yeah. It's still early, though. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that, though. Anyway, thank you, Eli. Let's move on to the other guys. We'll give you a break here. Dare I ask Mike, what are his thoughts on Fallen to Five? After the draft lottery in our group chat, Mike sent a voice message. He's like, man, I don't even care. Just start winning basketball games. So, Mike, do I even need to ask you what your thoughts are on Fallen to Five?
I felt nothing, man. I knew we weren't going to get a good pick after what happened last year. There's no way. Like, there was nothing to feel because five is, like, basically what I pictured us getting. Like, that just seems reasonable, and so we got. I'm not mad, not happy. It's just, I mean, it is what it is. I want them to start, you know, trying to win games, but yeah, I think Eli's right about what's going to happen this season. Another tank
well,
here.
Yeah, I was going to circle back to that to close out the show. It's an interesting point from Eli, and it's something that I've read from, again, going back to James Edwards. He has brought it up before, but we'll circle back later in the show to talk about that a little bit. But, yeah, so you really don't care right now what the Pistons do with that fifth overall pick. You just kind of want them to start winning,
which is fair. I care what they do with it. I'm not worried because I think they're going to make the right decision. I think they're going to make a good pick. That's why I haven't really like done much research because I'm not worried about it. I think this front office is competent. I think they're going to make the right pick.
Yeah. You know, I brought this up to another friend that I was texting after the draft lottery. It's not Stan anymore. Like, I feel like some people still feel like it's Stan. It's not Stan anymore, who we don't even need to go into the past picks that he made and who he passed on before. Like, Troy Weaver found Sadiq Bey in the later part of the first round. He found Beef Stew midway in the first round. He found Isaiah Livers in the second round. Like, he clearly has an eye for talent. In both of his drafts so far with us, there's at least a player where you can be like, yeah, that was a good find from Troy. But in both of his drafts so far. So that's why I'm feeling really comfortable with Troy right now with that fifth overall pick. If we still had Stan, hypothetically, and we had that fifth overall pick, I'd be like, jeez, I don't know. I don't know. I really want top three because it'd be tough for Stan to pass on a Paolo or a Chet or a Jabari or whatever, you know? But like, just trust in Troy, okay? Just trust in Troy. He has an eye for talent, clearly, and I think it's safe to say a lot of Piston fans are feeling comfortable with him making that fifth overall pick. I think he even said after the lottery, he's like, if we were picking right now at number five, I'd feel comfortable with, you know, the options that might be on the board there, something along those lines. So, yeah, it's a fair argument there from Mike. Let's move on to Grant and Tyler. Whichever one of you two wants to start first, you can go ahead, and then we'll get to the other one. Similar questions to you two that I asked Eli. What was your reaction when you saw that we fell to five? Does it at all change your opinion in our rebuild or our quote-unquote restore? And are there any specific players that you like with that fifth overall pick?
I'll hand my seniority over to Grant. Grant, this is all you, buddy.
Jeez. All right, just getting handed to me. I had high hopes just after watching the Pistons actually get the number one last year, and I thought that was really exciting. But I mean, it's like in my mind it was like, it's possible, it's a ping pong ball, it could be anybody. I was a little disappointed to see us drop, especially being one of, I think, the dwindling members on the Chet train. I just wanted Chet Holmgren really bad, but I don't think it really slows things down. I think if you're picking top five in this draft, you're not slowing down. You're just maybe not proceeding as fast as you could be. But as the Pistons stand right now, I think they have to go guard. I think you have to go Jaden Ivey, most likely. I mean, if he's there, like we've all kind of mentioned, if Kings take him or if he's off the board early. I think Killian's doing really good coming off the bench, or at least better coming off the bench. So we're still kind of missing that second guard to run alongside Cade. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. If we were to trade Jeremy, I could see going for a big. But it's a little disappointing when you saw that the Pistons could actually get the number one pick. And I'm not even saying I expected them to get the number one pick again, but I just didn't think the Pistons would drop. I thought this was kind of like a here comes Detroit type draft, and it still can be, but it's just not as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
Tyler.
I feel fine. I feel completely fine. Dude. We won the lottery last year. We got Cade Cunningham. We got our number one guy. Like, I didn't need a superstar in this year's draft. Like, would it have been great to get Jabari Smith? Absolutely. Would it have been great to get Paolo Banchero? Absolutely. Like, no doubt about it. But I didn't need a superstar in this class. I got one last year in Cade Cunningham. I just need a surrounding player who's going to be good around him. And I think there's options here at five for Weaver to get that guy for Cade. I mean, depending on what they do in free agency / the trade market, which is after the draft, I just need a guy that's going to contribute, be a good starter for this team, and I don't even need him to be a number one. Probably don't even need him to be a number two, and I might not even need him to be a number three on my team. That's where I think we are in a position right now, because I think you got Cade. I think Sadiq is in the middle of that two and three of being, you know, on your basketball team, and I think depending on what they do in free agency or the trade market, you guys, you know, wiggle the name DeAndre Ayton. I think he kind of just fits right there as well as your number two, number three player on your basketball team at that point. So I just need a good starter at that point. So if that's Keegan Murray, if that's Ben Mathurin, if that's Jaden Ivey, I mean, Sharp is the only one I'm like really not that intrigued by, honestly, just because of how much of a mystery he is. And I just feel like there's not much out there for the Pistons to – I don't want to take a shot on a guy like that. I really just want a guy that I could be confident he's going to be on my team for the next 5 to 7 years at least. And with Sharp, I can't see that confidently right now. With the other guys, I could see that pretty confidently. If that's Mathurin, if that's Ivey, if that's Murray, I could see that pretty confidently. I don't need a superstar here at pick five. So, like you guys mentioned, we didn't fall to seven, and we didn't move up in the draft. It is what it is. So, I don't know. I'm not too hurt by it just because of what happened last year and what took place last year. And I will say this. If there was any year to win the lottery, if you're comparing this year and last year, yeah. I'm absolutely taking last year.
Mm-hmm.
10 times out of 10, yeah. No hesitation.
That's a great point. That's a really good point because I agree 100%. If this was last year and we fell from hypothetically 3 to 5, then yeah, it's like, oh jeez, we just missed out on Cade. We're gonna miss out on Jalen Green. We're gonna miss out on Evan Mobley. Yeah. But this year it's not a great draft. So yeah,
I think Cade really progressed the rebuild, and he did. I think. Mm. Assured himself to be the guy going forward. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we still have to see more, but like, I'm very confident he's gonna be that guy. And you mentioned a great point earlier about Troy. I mean, yes, he's only had two drafts, but and he made the easy pick in Cade Cunningham, but like, take away the Cade Cunningham pick, I mean, he's done a very, very good job in getting good ball players. The Killian Hayes pick, I think, is still there's still a jury out there. We want to see what he could do in year three. Mm-hmm. But Sadiq Bey, I think we're very confident that he could be a guy going forward for a very long time, being a number two, number three on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Stewart, I think worst case scenario for Isaiah, if he's not a starter, he's going to be a very high-end role player for your team. And you got him in around that middle first-round pick. So if that's his role, that's perfectly fine. And then you mentioned a guy that got in the second round last year. Very small sample size, but liked what I saw out of him in Livers. I think he could be a very, very good backup small forward, backup power forward, whatever they really need him to be. So take out the Cade Cunningham pick because anyone could have made that pick. That's the obvious one at pick number one. You got lucky there. But you take out that pick, Troy still made some really, really good picks. So I have really no argument to say why I can't trust the guy. He hasn't proved anything to me why I can't trust him. That he won't make the right pick here, pick five.
The hardest part in any rebuild, in any sport, doesn't matter what the sport is, the hardest part of any rebuild is finding the guy. And the Pistons have
that's all
the guy. They figured out the hardest part of the puzzle. They got their guy. And as you said, Tyler, they just got to now put the pieces around him. So from there, I'll ask you, are there any specific prospects that kind of catch your eye? You mentioned you're not really high on Shane Sharp, which I do understand because, again, he's a mystery. It seems like he's going to really need some time to develop because he didn't play last year at Kentucky. You also mentioned a little bit Keegan Murray, though. And hearing you talk, and you said you didn't need someone to be your number two or even your number three. You just want someone who's going to be a solid player. That kind of sounds like Keegan Murray to me. So you're a Keegan Murray guy.
I'm not out on him. I'm not out on him. I would actually be completely fine with that because you guys mentioned like maybe the ceiling's not the highest. But again, I don't need this guy to transfer my franchise. I don't need this guy to be a number one option for me. I really don't need that. I don't even need him to be a number two on my team, honestly. And I think that's why the Pistons are in a really good spot. I think out of all the top five teams right now, call me biased or whatever, I think the Pistons are in the best spot. They're not one of these teams like OKC. They're not like this team like Orlando where they need to get a guy. They have their guy. And I think they have a really good two already in Sadiq. And I think they could address that in the trade market or free agency, depending on who they get. If that's a Brunson, if that's an Ayton, whoever it may be. I think they could address that and get a pretty solid number two, number three option in the veteran market. So I really just need a guy that I feel confident it's going to contribute for my team for the next 5 to 7 years. Just look at these playoffs. I think guys that are good depth players are really taking the way. Like, yes, you want your star. You want your Jason Tatum's. You want your Jaylen Browns. But you still need your Al Horford's. You still need your Marcus Smart's. I think you have your one and two. I think Cade's your guy right now. I think you really just have to figure out, is Sadiq going to be your two? Or do you want to figure that out in the trade market or whatever? So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Pistons are in dying need to get a guy with a super high ceiling. Just get a guy that's going to contribute, who could start and give you some really valuable minutes.
Gentlemen, this will not be the last time we talk NBA drafts. We are going to spend a lot of time talking about the Pistons and the NBA draft as we get closer to the actual 2022 NBA draft. I thought this was a really good conversation, a good kind of beginning point for our Pistons NBA draft talk this year. The last point I'll mention is this. Again, it could have been worse. If we would have fell to 6 or 7, it would have been like, ah, we wouldn't even be releasing an episode today if we fell to 6 or 7. As Eli and I mentioned earlier, like, we would not have even been in the mood to talk about falling to 6 or 7. I wasn't expecting number one. I don't think a lot of us were expecting number one again. I just want top four. We need to get top four, but again, it is what it is. We still got top five pick. We still got our guy in Cade. We still got Trey Weaver. We're still going to get a good player in number five overall. And it kind of, as Tyler said there, we're still in a really good spot. Like, we're still in a good spot. We obviously got Cade, but like Tyler said, don't forget about Sadiq. You know, he, after a little bit of a sophomore slump to start the year, he really picked it up to end last season. Dropped a 50-point game in Orlando. Still got Sadiq. Beef Stew also took some strides towards the end of the season. Killian, obviously, coming off the bench, played pretty well to close out the year as well.
Don't forget Marvin Bagley, too.
Yeah. End of the year. Marvin Bagley, when we acquired him, he was a big addition to this team. And you assume he will be back next season. He's going to be part of this core going forward. Like, yeah, falling to 5 stinks, but we're still going to get a good player. Still got Cade. Still got Troy, and we're just still in a good position. Tyler believes, not biased, that we're in the best position of those teams in the top four.
Boatload of cap, too. Don't forget that. You have the luxury of going out and getting a guy if you really want to get a guy, if you like a guy, in this free agency class or the trade market. I'm really intrigued with the DeAndre Ayton name. I know we're not getting into that right now, but I think that's very possible for the Pistons to maybe make a move this offseason.
And that was another point I was going to make to wrap it up here. Like, we're still in a good spot. And we still got free agency. We got a lot of cap space to work with. Now, whether you want to spend that cap space this offseason or next offseason, that's a discussion for another day. But you still got a lot of cap space, and you are seeing some big names possibly connected to the Pistons that you would spend that cap space on. Maybe a DeAndre Ayton, who I think would be a huge addition to this team. Cade and DeAndre Ayton together? Oh, come on. Come on. That would be sick. DeAndre Ayton would be a huge addition to this basketball team. If Phoenix wants to let him go, I'm all for it. And you also got Jalen Brunson, who I kind of feel like I like Jalen Brunson more than most Piston fans. I don't know. I understand the concerns about possibly paying him a big-time contract, but I mean, we need a two to play next to Cade. And, you know, I've seen some people say, oh, I don't think Jalen Brunson would be a fit here. Why? Luka is the primary ball handler in Dallas, and Luka and Jalen Brunson fit pretty well together. They're in the Western Conference Finals right now. You know? Like, I don't think Jalen Brunson would be a bad signing either. So my overall point here is that, yeah, falling to 5 sucks, but we still got Troy, we still got Cade. We still got a really good young core, and we're still going in a good direction, okay? It's not the end of the world. I really don't see it that way. I'm still feeling good about the direction of this team right now. So Eli brought up earlier in the show about the possibility of this next Pistons season being another tanking year. It's interesting that he brought that up because, again, going back to James Edwards, shout out to James. I was reading another article that he put out a while ago, and he brought up the possibility of, and I'm paraphrasing here, like, hey, what if the Pistons spend next year being another tanking year? And especially, and this is me, not James, saying this, especially in a hypothetical scenario, like, let's say a 5th overall, you take a Keegan Murray, who might not necessarily have the ceiling to be like your number 2 on this team or another star with Cade, okay? So in that scenario, you go that route. You don't spend a lot of your cap space this offseason. You don't go after a DeAndre Ayton or a Jalen Brunson, so on and so forth. you spend this next season being another tanking year, if you will. You get a top pick next year and go after, I don't know their names, but there's apparently like two or three big time prospects that are going to be, they're projected to be really good. So you try to, well, I say this, you're going to laugh, but like you try to get lucky in the lottery again. Try to get one of those big players that everyone's already talking highly of. And then next offseason, you spend your cap space in what is going to be a really good free agency class. A heck of a lot better than this year. With all due respect to guys like DeAndre Ayton and Jalen Brunson. I mean, you can look up the names in next year's free agency class. It's stacked. So I don't think it's crazy to think that this next season could be another tanking year. Do I want another tanking year? Not really. I don't want to see this team lose a lot of games again, especially with Cade. Like, I want to see them eventually start to put it all together and start to win and maybe make a run at the playoffs. But I don't think Eli's crazy when he says he feels like it could be another tanking year. I mean, you've already got James Edwards, who covers the team. That's kind of like, hey, it's an idea. Like, what if it happens, you know? So with that, I'll let you guys talk. What's your thoughts on that? We'll start with Mike, because I know he's got some thoughts on that.
I mean, it's kind of hard to predict what's going to happen, because I really don't know much about what to expect. Like,
yeah.
This team, we want them to be good. We think they can be good. They can be good, I think. But that's what we thought about last season, and we saw what happened. True. Like, I mean, I don't know. If I had to bet on it, I'd say it's going to be another tanking year. Maybe not tanking, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere close to even a play-in. Like, I think it's just going to be towards the bottom of the league.
Grant?
As much as I am Mr. Positivity, it feels like there's just a couple pieces missing as of right now. Obviously, as Tyler mentioned, there's a ton of cap space available. Just a lot of free agents that the Pistons could go after. But as of right now, it just feels like maybe you try and get lucky again. But I feel like with the improvements they're going to make, they're not going to be in that position, like in this position again of best odds for first pick in the draft or top three or anything like that. Like, I feel like there's going to be at least some sort of improvement this year. Cade's coming into his sophomore season. We're kind of starting to figure things out with guys like Bagley and Killian. And I don't see the Pistons being bottom feeders. I'm in stride with Mike, where I don't think they're necessarily a play-in team yet, but I don't think sitting bottom 10 is out of the question as opposed to bottom 3.
Tyler, before I get to you, that's a really good point from Grant. I didn't think of that. Are we really going to be that bad again? Like, again, going back to our point of how we've got dudes on this team just outside of Cade. Like, yeah, it's not like we're going out there with the process 76ers. I mean, we got Cade, Sadiq, Beef Stew, Killian. It's going to be a big year for him. Isaiah Livers, his hopefully first full healthy season. Hami, Marvin Bagley. Like, I could go on and on and on. Like, we do have guys here. Are we really going to be that bad? I didn't think of that. That's a really good point from Grant there. But, Tyler, you'll have the last word on this about the whole possibility of another tanking year.
I think after free agency, we'll really know the direction that Troy wants to go with. If they go out and get an Ayton or Brunson, then you're obviously not advertising for tanking. You're advertising that you want to be in at the very least a play-in game, I think.
Yeah.
But does Troy think Ayton or Brunson's worth it, or does he want to save and go after a guy next year? That I don't know. But I think I would be completely fine with either or, man. If they went with Brunson or Ayton, I think those are very good pieces to build around. I mean, Ayton, I think, is like only 22 years old, I believe, or like going to be 23 going into the season, something like that. He's very young. So I think if you get a guy like that who's already proven, I think he's one of the better centers in the league. And if you can get him to go along with Cunningham and Sadiq and all those guys, I really think that could be a very productive year. And I don't think that would fit the criteria of that they're going to be bad next year, or they're going to look for a top five pick again next year. I really don't think that would be the move if they go after a guy like Brunson or Ayton. I think you really have to factor is, are those guys worth it? And it fits eight, and I really think it's worth it. I think Brunson, it's more of a legitimate argument, even though I think it'd be pretty worth it too to get a guy like Jalen in here too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think after free agency, I can give you a way better answer at where I think the Pistons' direction is going to be. But I think if it just it matters if Phoenix is willing to trade eight, I think the Pistons have some. I think the Pistons have some things that the Phoenix could be intrigued by that the Pistons can make a maybe a sign and trade potentially. You know, give a Jerami Grant up and go get a DeAndre Ayton. I think it works for both sides. So I don't know. I think after free agency, I could really give you a better answer. But I don't know. I'm intrigued by Ayton. I'm really intrigued by Ayton. I think they could really make some noise, not to make like a huge playoff run, but I think to make the play-in, make the playoffs, and really build the foundation with some really young players, some young studs. I think it really built in something there. And I think the best comparison, comparing it to a different sport, even though it's a little different, I think the Pistons could be like the Lions to a certain degree, depending on what they do in free agency.
I was going to ask you if you had a preference to whether or not the Pistons make a splash of free agency and try to go for making some noise next year, or they spend it as another tanking year. But it sounds like you're really on board with getting a guy like DeAndre Ayton or Jalen Brunson and trying to take some big steps forward next season.
I think getting Ayton, you're really putting yourself in a good spot. Like you just are. Not like I agree. For now and the long run. I think it's just a very smart move. So I'm completely down if Troy wants to go out and get DeAndre Ayton. I'd be completely down for that.
DeAndre Ayton's still 23 years old. He'll be 24 when the next season starts. Yeah, it's not like we're signing some old dude who's going to come in here and not really fit the young core. He's 23 right now.
No, he fits right into your core. Mm-hmm. I think he's obviously you're going to be your starting center, and you can potentially get him his fellow front court player in the draft, or you can maybe pair him along with Marvin Bagley. I think that really improves if you want to pair him along with Isaiah or Bagley in that starting lineup. I think that really improves your front court at that point too. So I think getting a guy like Ayton, man, I think he just improves your team so much. He fits your foundation. And I think you're still in a very good spot financially, too, if you still want to make some moves. I think even after that, you're still a pretty good team. So I know the options are not very big, but if they can manage to get a DeAndre in, I am completely going in if I can get him.
Like you said, Tyler, it really depends what they do, mostly in free agency. I mean, when we see what moves they do or do not make in free agency, that will give us a clear idea of what to expect in the upcoming 2022-2023 season, but that's a long way away. It's early to talk about what could happen next season or even in free agency or the draft, but still fun to talk about nonetheless. Gentlemen, good show this week. It was good to talk Pistons basketball again. Like I said, this will not be the last time we talk about the draft or even, you know, free agency. It's going to be a fun summer for this basketball team. The arrow is definitely pointing up. You know, even though we fell to five, the arrow's still pointing up. I'm feeling good about the direction of this team, and it's a good conversation this week. So, gentlemen, with that, good show this week. Thank you all so much for listening. For my entire crew, my name's Tony Nabrowski. We'll catch you all in the next one. Grant.
Buy roast umber and be positive.